The podcast network is supported by Neo.org, a social network with a purpose, to transform the world by enabling people to transform themselves, and Tony Kynaston, our first TPN patron. Become a TPN patron or a member of the TPN 500 by visiting tpn.thepodcastnetwork.com.
David Nichols, I'm the president of the Atheist Foundation of Australia, Inc.
Where are you based, David?
The base follows the presidency around, and at the moment it is in South Australia, and we are in a little rural community 200 kilometres northwest of Adelaide.
Wow. I mean, that's got to be like the sticks.
It's a cropping country, very, very good for cropping country, and it's a very quiet location, and we enjoy it immensely.
See, I'm such a city boy, I don't even know what cropping country means.
Well, it means, sadly, that a lot of the trees and vegetation has been taken out to accommodate the food that we eat and that is fed to animals.
Oh, okay, right. Well, that's no good.
Well, we have to eat.
Well, we don't have to eat animals, though. As I'm sure...
I would agree with that point.
And one of your speakers, Peter Singer, who's been a guest on this show, would agree with me, I'm quite certain.
Yes, well, Peter Singer is very famous for his book going back, I suppose it's 20 or more years ago now, maybe 30, Animal Liberation. But Peter Singer is also well known for many other things, especially in the field of bioethics. And how we should look upon life and death. And he does seem to create a little bit of controversy with certain subjects, but it's because he does take subjects to their rational conclusion, and he's not telling people to follow his words exactly, saying, well, here's what the logical conclusion is, make of it what you will, and if you think you should adjust your thinking to it, do. If you don't, don't.
So let's talk about the Atheist Convention that you are organising for Melbourne early next year. How did the idea come about to start with?
We were contacted by an alliance we are in, and it's called the Atheist Alliance International, which is a group of many secular atheist organisations. And they asked us if we'd be interested in putting a conference on, because they have one every year in different locations. I think a couple of years ago they had one in Reykjavik in Iceland, Greenland, and they had one recently, very successful one, only last weekend in Los Angeles. And so they asked us if we'd would like to be involved in putting a convention on, and we thought about it for about a second. Realising that many people in Australia who are atheists do not seem to get a fair go with a lot of things in society, and it would be an exciting factor for them to be able to attend a convention where they would not feel so isolated, as which happens in many cases with atheism. Atheists think they're the only ones out there, whereas in actual fact we're 50% of the population.
50% of the population?
Well,
last I heard it was 15.
Yes, okay. Well, we can muck around with figures. The census figures are not very accurate. In fact, they have 20% of those figures are children under the age of 14. Now, children under the age of 14 don't really have a religion. They are parroting a belief. All atheism is, many people might not admit to being an atheist, but atheism is just, it's from the word atheos, the Greek word, and the A before the theos is without, and the theos means deity. So anybody who is without a deity in their life is an atheist.
Well, I agree with you. I've had this argument many times online where people say, well, atheists believe that God doesn't exist, and I say, well, that's not actually accurate. Just people without a belief in a God, those two things aren't synonymous, right?
Well, we go a little bit further. I mean, mixing up the belief word with religion, which does have beliefs, and their beliefs turn into a belief system. They believe that their holy book is true. They believe that their God was inspired the holy book. They believe this, that, and the other, and those things. But atheists really don't have beliefs, and there's no evidence out there. I mean, I don't have any beliefs about fairies. I don't know if you do, Cameron, but I don't personally have a belief system about fairies or any belief about them.
You've obviously never been to the Mardi Gras parade in Sydney.
I'm talking about things at the bottom of the garden.
Oh, those fairies, right. But that's what I said, right? I think that's what I said before. So atheists don't have a belief in a deity, in a god. It doesn't mean that they necessarily run around trying to prove that God doesn't exist. They just don't have that belief. Or I think one of the ways that Christian folks like to try and put it sometimes is that they have a belief that God doesn't exist, but that's not accurate.
Well, it's all those things, using the belief word, are mucking around with the language, because it is very difficult, and I understand this, it's very difficult for religious people not to think that we are only believing what we're on about, because we are saying to them, if we are right, you are wrong, and they know that, so they therefore have to say that we have a belief system, you have a belief system, so therefore we're equal, but it's not an equal proposition at all. We don't believe in anything. There is just no evidence for any gods. There has never been any evidence for any gods. And until that evidence comes along, we just accept that the gods and supernatural realms do not exist.
And they go into that very, very large bucket of things that are not supported by evidence, which is a very large bucket.
I'm not sure what you mean there, but...
The way that I normally have the conversation, like with my children, when they've asked me from time to time, well, maybe, you know, God does exist and we just don't have the evidence for it yet and we should believe in it just in case. And I say, well, you know, the ideas that humans have currently and have had over the last few thousand years about things that might exist are almost infinite. And if you're going to take that approach to life, you have to believe in all of them and worship them all equally if you're going to, you know, truly follow Pascal's wager out to its logical conclusion, which is going to be a kind of an exhausting exercise. I mean, the set of things that people have suggested might exist for which there is no known evidence is a very large set.
Well, that is very true. I mean, just on the religious line, without going into fairies and leprechauns and all the other things, there have been 34,000 religions, and this is documented in a book written by Marjorie Leach, and you can, I know it's at least in the Launceston Library, in the reference library in Launceston, and I believe there have been, this is one of the things I do believe, because I haven't got the direct evidence, but I'm pretty sure it's correct. I believe that there have been 3,000 or 4,000 various gods. Now, at this date in 2009, there happens to be a god around that's been around since, whether it's the alleged Jesus Christ or whether it's the going further back to the Old Testament, but it's only 3,000 years. I mean, there have been gods ever since humans have stepped out of the trees. And as Homer Simpson says, what if you pick the wrong god?
Exactly. So let's get back to this conference. So you were approached by this international alliance, said, would you like to do one in Australia? You went, hells yeah. Now, you've got quite a terrific lineup of speakers organised. Why don't you walk people through them?
Well, we certainly have a wonderful lineup of speakers. I mean, this is a really exciting event. This is something that has never really happened in Australia ever, and it's highly unlikely to happen again because all these people will never get together in the one place. But we have people like Peter Singer, as we've just mentioned, Richard Dawkins, and we have Taslima Nazrin, who is a Bangladeshi doctor who is very famous in women's rights. And we've got PZ Myers, and, you know, there's lots of people on the web. He's got the biggest science website on the web. You know, I mean, we're talking millions of visits sort of thing.
That's the Feringula.
Yes, that's right. And he is very popular. And we've got Dan Barker, an ex-Baptist minister, evangelical minister, who is now on the side of atheism. And we have Max Wallace, who wrote book, I'm just trying to think of the title of, The Purple Economy, which is about how much money escapes the taxation department through religion, and that equation itself works out to be something like 30. Now, this is very hard to believe, but I think it's fairly true because it ties up with American figures. It's something like $30 billion a year in Australia. So there's lots of people that are going to be expressing why there is atheism, what it means to the world, which way we're going. I mean, we have A.C. Grayling, a very famous philosopher. We have Robin Williams, science broadcaster, and the list sort of goes on. And we also have a panel of women who will be there discussing their atheist influences that have affected them and how they would like atheism to go, like Maggie Miller and Jane Carrow, Leslie Canold, Tanya Levine, Lynn Allison, ex-Democrat. And we have entertainment on Saturday night with an illusionist, Simon Taylor, and comedian Jamie Kirstein. We have Sue Ann Post, also, you know, very good. And we've got our own Melbourne personality of some fame, Catherine Devaney. So, you know, the list is just enormous, and it's just such an exciting event that everybody who is contacting us, and they're contacting us quite prolifically, as I'm awake, I don't know how many hours of the day answering inquiries and calls, and it's just the whole thing is taking on a momentum by itself. And I would really urge anybody who really who is interested in atheism or who would like to find out about atheism to come on along.
So, what's the response to the announcement of the conference been like in the mainstream media?
It's been very poor, really. It was a bit of a surprise. We did send a media release out to, you know, most of the major outlets, and we've had a couple of internet-type interviews, such as the one we're having now, and we've also had Barney Schwartz from The Age, the religious editor of The Age, put a story in which sent the red lights flashing all over the telephone and computer here. But yeah, it's been a bit poor, but I think it's early days, and it's the momentum gathering in the on the internet is like this gigantic animal that seems to be enveloping everything, and I think that is going to continue right up to the time of the convention.
In the commentary in the online newspapers, in The Age, etc., people have been expressing some strange views about the need or lack thereof for an atheist convention. Well, tell us about some of those.
Well, I think most of the commentary has been in the positive light, because there are atheists out there who are saying, hey, this is what we need. This is where we can get together, and we can... we can show that we can demonstrate to the political and religious leaders that atheists vote, which I think they have been missing in the equation. And they, atheists are just so wrapped up with this idea that they're going to be hearing the condensed thoughts of all these academic and intellectual people, and along with that, going to have a really good time doing it. And it sort of created this positive attitude. Even there is some that's saying, well, why would we do this and stuff? But really, atheists do get a bit of a bad deal, socially speaking, and would like to see some changes in society that would benefit society, not just benefit atheists, but atheists would like to see religion taken out, not taken out so much, but... modified in the political scene, where the representation of atheists is put to where it should be. I mean, there are only about 7% of people who actually do go to church, but they are really controlling a lot of social issues, and atheists are getting a little bit upset about this, and you can understand that. There's issues such as voluntary euthanasia, abortion always under threat, or under the threat of being limited, creation science is not put down how it should be put down, because it's not really a rational, credible scientific theory. It's just a guess by people who are overtly religious. I mean, stem cell research, I think we've got it a little bit better than the Americans, but these things are making rational people think, listen, we've got to really control religion a little bit, because it's starting to take over our society. And on the wider scene, if you look at religion, it is very obvious by just watching your television set every night that religion is causing some huge problems in the world, and it also has the potential to cause the final problem. And I think there's going to be, the rise of atheism is only the beginning. There is going to be a crescendo of atheism as we head in the next 10 years.
A year or two ago, a couple of years ago actually, I started a church for atheists, a religion for atheists, David. Yes. I called it the Church of LOTU, and LOTU stands for Laws of the Universe, and the idea was it would be a place for atheists to come together and discuss the laws of science as expressed to us by our finest scientific minds, and try and figure out what does this mean for us in terms of how we live our lives, and you know, an opportunity for us to discuss the wonderment that we get from understanding how supernovas happen and where planets come from and evolution and the beauty and wonderment and all of these things. Because it, as I think you said early on, atheism is somewhat of a lonely path. Atheists don't tend to get together and discuss all of these things. And a lot of people said to me at the time, well, atheists don't need a place to get together and talk. They just, it's a lonely thing. You just do it. You know, you just don't believe. You don't need to come together, which I profoundly disagree with. Have you had that kind of reaction from anyone?
There is often something in the pipeline where somebody would like to set up a church, but invariably it's not that successful, as opposed to, say, the convention we're having, which is sort of a bit of a one-off thing. It's not like you're going to go to the convention every week and have a chat to atheists, but atheists are just members of the community, and the only thing they really have in common is they know there's no evidence for a God. And, you know, atheists, even though they tend to be on the side of social justice and equality for all citizens, they can have varied sort of ideas about existence and, you know, how we should handle our lives. So I don't think it's ever going to be the case that, you know, the Hillsong atheists are going to all rock up together and start clapping hands, 20,000 of them. You know, we're not that sort of thing. It's sort of a part of our philosophy that we must look at this life as the only life that we are ever going to have, and we have to treat it the best we can and treat people around us the best we can, and not depend on some sort of supernatural aid that will come to our assistance, except for the occasional person that's saved in an aeroplane when the 300 die. But we have to live our lives without any of this, which will change the human way of thinking about the universe we inhabit and make us a bit more respectful, I think, of the planet on which we exist.
You mentioned an interesting thing there, that most atheists seem to have a worldview that is surrounds secular humanism and humanistic values, which I think is a shock to probably a lot of the religious folks out there. They normally tend to suggest that if you're an atheist, you have no set of values and, you know, therefore you're just living your life blindly. Why do you think there is this association between atheism and humanism?
Well, atheism is and humanism are very closely related, although humanism, as the title suggests, is about humans mainly. Although I'm not knocking humanism, it's a very good philosophy. But there's more of a problem with atheism from religious people who just can't seem to get it through their head that if you haven't got a God, therefore how can you be a moral person? And the very strange thing about that is these people aren't looking at nature. I mean, if you look at all the higher animals, so this probably goes into the lower animals too, but it's a little bit harder to observe. But all the higher animals, they have evolved, and one of the big thing that has allowed them to survive in this evolving is that they cooperate, that they look after their young, that they have a tribal mentality, that they're distrustful of other tribes. All these things that are that humans at one stage had have evolved. We have evolved a bit higher than most of the other animals in this regard, and we also have the advantage of having a very good reasoning ability if we want to use it. And with that reasoning ability, we set up parliaments, and in those parliaments we make laws. Those laws are in their absolute thousands compared to the religious laws of 10, which you cannot run a country on 10 laws. And in fact, if you look at the religious countries in the world that try and do this, you will see the mayhem that is created, the injustice, the torturous lives that people have to live, especially women. I mean, half the world's population are women. And they're being subjugated by religion. And religion's really got to start looking at. There's no good saying, oh, in Australia we seem to be all right with women. What about the rest of the world? But even in Australia, you know, women aren't allowed to be priests, and there's all these restrictions, and they're trying to stop women having abortions. I mean, religion is anti-female, and that's all there is about it.
My friend, the Catholic priest, or the former Catholic priest up here in Brisbane, Peter Kennedy, was defrocked only a few months ago, and one of the crimes that he committed in the eyes of the church was allowing women to get up at the pulpit and speak. So, yeah, this is alive and well in Australia today, as you say.
Yes, that was very good of him, but he paid the price of standing up. And there'll be many priests and pastors and all religious people. I'm not trying to knock religious people, by the way. Don't think that for a moment. But many of those pastors, priests, and people in authority in the church, they can't say anything. They have to go along with the system, because if they go against the system, they won't be a part of it. Now, you can imagine being a priest and you've been doing this for yonks, and you're sort of getting on and you're a bit wiser than when you first started. If you say, well, listen, I don't accept any of this, well, you're out on your bottom, and you therefore have to try and choose another career after this is the only thing you know. So it's religion is a self-entrapping sort of system, not just in that, by the way. It's also traps people psychologically, that makes them think they need to have it, so therefore they do have it. And I think, I mean, as I said, I'm not knocking religion, or if people want to be religious, that's their decision, as long as it is their decision. But one of the unfortunate things about religion is it starts off indoctrinating young children when they're infants, and it's a part of the evolutionary process. Here we go with evolution again, but evolution is nearly everything, by the way, and this will certainly become more evident as the years go by. But evolution has a system where when children are learning, they take in whatever the tribe or the parents are saying, and they take it in as fact because it is the tribe or the parents telling them, and they retain this. It hardwires their brain, and when they become adults, it seems like it's inherent knowledge. Oh, of course there's a God. Of course there's evidence for a God. But, you know, there is no evidence, and the "of course" is really not justified.
By the way, I don't think Peter Kennedy's doing it that tough. I think last time I caught up with him, his congregation was bigger than ever, and their weekly takings were bigger than ever. So, and he doesn't have to share it with the Catholic authorities. So,
no, that's a very good example. I mean, that's an isolated example, and good luck to him. But in general, a priest couldn't do that.
Well, I think that we need to have, you know, priests with a little bit more courage to stand up and start to lead the way, as Peter did. And when I interviewed him before this sort of happened, he said, you know, when I started in the priest game, I was 18, 19. It was in the, you know, the 30s or 40s, and you know, it wouldn't have been that old, 50s probably with him. But he said, I had no idea what was going on. But after you get around the game for 10, 20 years and you start to go, hold on a minute, none of this makes any sense. But then what do? As you say, you've got no other profession.
Exactly. I feel sort of fairly sorry for people that end up in that position. I mean, we're all victims of circumstances. I mean, you're doing what you're doing and I'm doing what I'm doing. Just, you know, everything's led up to that. You don't sort of, the amount of choice you have in these things is very limited. And I feel very sorry for people that do end up on the wrong side of something they thought at the time was a good idea.
Yeah. So the conference is March 2010. It's in Melbourne. People can get details at atheistconvention.org.au, 12th to the 14th of March. Do you have an official podcaster for the conference?
We probably won't be podcasting it. We haven't made an absolute decision on that. But this is totally paid for by the people who are attending, and it's a very expensive operation, a very complex operation to put on. So as we get closer to the convention, we'll be making decisions like that. But I can assure you it is going to be an absolutely wonderful event, and it's a very unique event. I think it will start sinking into people's minds that, hey, this is really fabulous. I mean, you're paying $10 per speaker, and the speaker quality is just something out of this world, and a lot of people are going to start thinking, hey, I'm not going to miss this. And good luck to them, and I urge all people who sort of recognise how religion is gaining too much power locally and internationally to make an effort to be in the audience at the Global Atheist Convention, because there's probably no better way that they could spend their time.
Very good, David. Thanks for coming on, having a chat. Good luck with it. Hope it goes well.
Thank you very much, Cameron.